What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. And you think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers that they probably will never ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
In the ancient hills of Appalachia, where time runs slow and deep, lies a land of high strangeness where mysteries do creep. Amidst the old, old mountains where haints and boogers roam, and the whispers of the ones before echo in the twilight's gloom. In the shadowed hollers where the mist hangs low and thick, the people speak of wonders that make the heart beat quick. For in these rugged valleys where the earth and sky collide, UFOs dance in the starlight with secrets they do hide. Cryptids prowl the forests, elusive and untamed, their presence felt but rarely seen, their legends unashamed. From the dark depths of the hollers to the peaks that touch the sky, these creatures of the wildlands keep their ancient ways alive. And in the heart of Appalachia, where the past is ever near, the old gods still hold sway, though their temples disappear. Their whispers ride the mountain winds, their presence in the land, a testament to timelessness in this ancient storied strand. So if you walk these ancient hills where the weirdness reigns, remember the mysteries that dwell in Appalachia's domains. For in this land of olden lore, where the mountains stand tall, the haints, boogers, and old gods, weave a tale for one and all. Hey there, hill folk, and welcome back to the 100th episode.
100, baby.
Of Appalachian Intelligence. 100. With you tonight, your hosts, as usual. We're getting pretty regular again. We got all three of us here tonight. Justin, Ryan, and Lance. Lance is off still tending to some kids, but he's around. He's around. So, Ryan, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How about you?
Oh, I'm great, man. I'm doing wonderful. I'm super excited to be here, to be chatting it up with you boys. We're so, so thankful to you Hill folk out there listening, watching, whatever you're doing, however you're taking this in. We're extremely grateful that y'all could join us for another edition of AI, for the 100th edition of AI.
It's 100th episode.
It's unbelievable to me that I didn't think that we would make it 2 episodes, let alone 100.
Let alone get anybody to listen to us.
Yeah. So that's awesome. We're super appreciative of you Hill folk out there that have done all that you've done in the last 100 episodes for us, for growing this show, for the support that you've given us. It's been awesome. It's been tremendous. And there's nothing that we'll ever be able to do to thank y'all enough. Y'all know where you can find us. You know, we say it every episode, all the socials, all the different places. Go to the old Google machine, type in Appalachian Intelligence, and our ugly mugs are going to pop up wherever you're looking for it. So, with talking about support and the love that we get and have gotten over the last 100 episodes, one of those huge ways is 5-star reviews. And y'all know when we get these 5-star reviews, we like to show a little love. So we're going to read a couple this week. This first one comes from Sid the Frog. It says 5 stars. Just found this one. Enjoying this podcast. Good to hear Southern voices out there. Keep up the good work. Sid the Frog, we will keep up the good work. Because that's what we do.
Yeah, that's what we do, man. What, or ma'am.
Even if you, even if y'all don't think it's good work, I mean, we think it's great. It may not be pretty, but it'll be beautiful.
Yeah.
This next one comes from Hobro70s, 5 stars. I love you guys. I really enjoy the stories and your voices. Thumbs up. Really happy I found you. I believe from a mention on Hollow Sky. So, Hobro, however that's said, we really, really appreciate it. We really appreciate the 5-star.
We'll call him Habby.
Habby, yeah. Habby. We appreciate you, Habby. We really appreciate you. And I'm glad that you heard us from our boys over on Hollow Sky. We love Kyle and Steve.
Love those guys.
Huge, huge bump and impact on us and our podcast. Yeah, huge. It's huge. Yeah, man. Thanks for those 5-star reviews, everyone. They're greatly appreciated. We love reading those. Every time that I'm having a bad day and I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm just beating my head against the wall with this podcast. If I go on and start reading these 5-star reviews, I mean, not only does it help out the algorithm, it does. But it's good for my own self-esteem. So y'all are keeping me above water here. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm just I just wanted to confirm that on the last episode, well, the powwow episode, I was talking about a guest we're gonna have coming on. They got back in touch with me. We're gonna make it happen soon, by the way.
Good.
And I did pronounce their name correctly twice, actually, because they said they go by JC and Jace.
Well, perfect. That's perfect.
So I win 2 times on that one. And, no. Dude, this is the 100th episode.
Yeah, 100. Nuts, man.
You know how many hours that is that we've spent talking?
Well, you can pretty much say
2 hours an episode.
Well, probably about 1 hour and 40 minutes average. So you're looking at about 100 minutes an episode. So plus the usually about 30 minutes to an hour before we ever start recording, and then the 30 minutes to an hour after we stop recording.
Yeah.
Whole lot of hours.
Say 150 minutes an episode.
And that's just the talking. That's not the social media stuff. That's not the scheduling and making contacts and networking and going on other people's podcasts, making appearances there. This has been a lot of time spent over the last 2 years and 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Crazy, dude. Blows my mind.
It seems like a blur. Like I was high the entire time.
Who would ever believe that?
Who would believe that?
Well, man, let's do what we do. Let's dive into some weirdness. How about
let's
it?
Let's do it.
What better way to celebrate the 100th episode than getting weird?
Yeah, let's get weird.
So let's get super weird.
Yeah, so listening to Rogan today, right? Sam Altman episode. OpenAI guy carries a little blue backpack with him.
Oh, yeah.
Blue or green backpack? Is it blue?
It's blue. I think it's blue.
Blue backpack with him. You know, hold up.
Before we dive real deep into that, you know, I love keeping documentation of our own personal weirdness. And usually when we start these episodes, I'm always asking you boys.
I'm always asking you boys,
hey, y'all had anything weird going on? Lance's wife is always seeing lights in the sky. And Monica did too over the week, which was nuts. I'll have to share that video with y'all.
It's crazy.
Anyway, but you called me last night. It was not long before I jumped on and chatted it up with the Shadow Appalachia guys, with guys from Sword and Staff and Dark Holler Studios and the Bump Podcast and this whole Shadow Appalachia project that we're working on that y'all need to keep your eyes peeled for, because it's going to be an awesome, awesome project. But not long before that, you called me. So if you wouldn't mind, why don't you share a little bit about why you called me last night?
Well, so as I had told you last night, I was going up to my neighbor's, my buddy's. He had surgery. So I was just going to see how he was doing. It's nothing life-threatening, you know, just had to have it, though. But went up to check on him, see how he's getting around, if he's okay, blah, 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 you know, chatting with him. It's not, I guess, about a football field, you know, 100 yards from his door to mine. And it's just a little, from their street light to my street light, though, it's just dark holler. So, you know, but I've walked it a million times, and I can assure you I'm not afraid of the dark. So, but last night I walked up there, nothing. But last night, walking back, there's a little creek that runs beside the road there. So I'm walking back, and when you get to the end of his yard, you'll come to a little driveway that goes over in this little trailer he owns. It's basically still his yard. You know, it's just divided by the driveway all the way down to where our property is right here. And, but there's this drain pipe, you know, that goes over for the driveways, and the water's coming out right there, and I can hear it trickling, but it's echoing off the woods to my left, which I always find, you know, magical. It's like, you know, hearing all the creek and the birds and the night animals, and it's always nice. But anywho, it was about this time, out of nowhere, I just had this crazy, crazy heavy feeling. Like, almost like I got a shot of morphine. You know, have you ever had morphine? Like, I've had it one time in my life, and I don't ever want that crap again.
Yeah, it shuts my lungs down, my O2 level. Bottoms out on morphine.
Yeah, it feels like you can't breathe.
Well, I literally couldn't.
Like something, yeah, you really couldn't. Excuse me, this, I can't breathe.
Well, I was there and had an injury, not to try to break away from your story, but the only time I've ever had morphine in my life, had an injury and I was in pain, dude. I'm talking severe pain. And they gave me a little shot of morphine in my IV. Dude, just a few minutes later, I was kicked back. Man, I felt great. And then all of a sudden, Monica looks up at the monitor and she's like, your O2's dropping quick. And about the time she said that, you're beep, 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 beep. Everybody comes rushing up in there, throwing oxygen on me like all this crap. I was like, wait a minute, am I dying?
Like, did you kill me? Did you kill me?
Mike, you better sue. Anyway, proceed. Sorry.
So, yeah. I had this outrageous feeling come over me. Not like fear, per se. Just like... like I was saying, like that, almost like it's going to be a panic attack type feeling. And I was like, what the crap is this? And it was everything in me not to start running. But I, for some reason, it was to my left I had to pay attention to, you know? And I was sitting there, so I just started doing what I do, just talking, talking crap, you know? And going on and all this mess, and then I get to the house and I'm just chuckling at first, then but I'm freaking shaking. It's like, gotta call Justin.
Yeah. Well, I could tell when you first picked up, or you tried to call me and I was on the phone with somebody else, and then I called back, and when you first picked up, dude, I could see it in your eyes still. Like, I could see that you were shook up.
It was weird. It was really, really weird. I've never, ever had a feeling like that.
So it was like more intense, because I know that you've had that feeling, like, you know, you go outside at night, get something out of the vehicle or whatever, and you just feel like there's eyes on you. You feel like something's watching you. So you're like picking your pace up back toward the house or whatever. But it was more intense than that is what you're trying to
say. This was like, something is watching me, but that something is just right. It's going to come out any second now, is the way I feel. I was like, I'm just waiting. I'm looking. But all the shadows, I mean, the way we got these laurel trees that come down through, and, you know, they stay green all year. Those big leaves, they're an evergreen.
Yeah.
And they just cast this shadow, and it's just this little holler before it starts going up the hill, you know. And one of the things is that big old bear runs around out here. So that'll put some giddy up in your step if you see that. But
yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, it wasn't that kind of feeling. But in my mind, I was sitting there, I was like, you know, am I just paranoid right now? Or is it my freaking Neanderthal instincts kicking in, like a saber tooth getting ready to jump on me or something? Like,
I mean, that would have been awesome if a saber tooth tiger jumped on you and you survived, and because you'd been
rich. If I survived,
yeah, if you survived,
I don't know if you want to limp away from something like that. That seems like it would be pretty traumatic.
You just got to rip out one of those big chompers, son. You're gonna be rich. Look, I got a saber tooth.
I tore its tooth out and killed it with it.
Yeah. But no, that's wild, dude. That's an interesting thing. And I've often, you know, I've thought a whole lot about, like, where does that feeling come from? Is that just, you know, something that's biologically organic, you know, instilled in our DNA
from
our times when, you know, we really did have to look out for predators and nomadic clans, you know, coming up in and busting up in a village and, you know, like having to be on your toes and there being the possibility of death around every turn, you know, if that's just instincts that come from that, or if it's, I mean, you hear all kinds of these like cryptid encounters and paranormal encounters to where people feel it, like, you know, whatever you want to call it, infrasound or whatever, whatever the case may be.
I mean,
I don't know. It's weird. It's
speaking of, weird. Speaking of, never having to look over your shoulder and living in the end times and death and Armageddon.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Because I
did
almost
you hear.
Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you were just getting ready to do a segue.
Yeah.
Okay. But I almost forgot. We had this encounter sent in to us. Okay.
Oh, crap.
So I'm going to read it really quickly. All right. And I'm going to leave it anonymous. I'm not for sure if they wanted me to or not. So I'm just going to leave it anonymous. It's really brief. It's really simple, but whew, okay. All right. So it says it was a cold, moonless night when I ventured into the abandoned mansion on the outskirts of town. The air was heavy with an inexplicable sense of dread, and the dilapidated walls seemed to whisper secrets of the past. As I cautiously made my way through the decaying corridors, a sudden chill ran down my spine, and I felt an otherworldly presence looming in the darkness. That's when I saw it, a figure, pale and ethereal, gliding silently across the ballroom, its eyes gleaming with an unearthly light. I knew then that I had stumbled upon something not of this world.
Holy crap.
Short, sweet, simple.
To the point, walked in.
But man, a pale, ethereal figure gliding silently across a ballroom, its eyes gleaming with an unearthly light. Like that's nuts.
It's almost, oh, come on. I can't think of it now. Never mind.
But that's a bone chilling tale, man. That is a bone chilling tale.
Yeah.
But before we dive any deeper into it, I have a confession to make.
What's that?
That spine tingling narrative that I just read. Mm-hmm. Was actually crafted by none other than the opposing AI. That was written by artificial intelligence. That's right.
That didn't even happen.
That's right. Our very own AI has a talent for spinning eerie yarns.
My goodness.
And then it even ended by saying, join us next time for more inexplicable encounters. And remember, the truth is often stranger than fiction. Yeah. So I've been playing with ChatGPT, right? And the other day I was like, write me, I think the prompt was something like, could you write me a fictional paranormal encounter, but treat it as if you're the one experiencing this. And that's what it gave me.
Jesus. That's really good.
And it happens in a matter of seconds. Dude, I've had this thing already write me poems, write songs, write like podcast scripts. And I'm not going to use, you know, a whole lot of it. I'm just doing it to play around with it. But it's in a matter of seconds, man. A matter of seconds. That whatever prompt you give it, boom, it's done. It's there. And I know a lot of people use it, but it almost leaves me with the thought of, is there anything that's original anymore? Like AI is so good, like ChatGPT under OpenAI or whatever. It's so good at writing this stuff based off a short little simple prompt. Is anything original anymore?
I don't know.
Or are people just like, hey, write me this novel about friggin' whatever. And then boom, it's done.
I don't know, man. We tried to warn everybody in 100 episodes ago.
We did.
We didn't know anything about it. All we knew is AI was up to no good. We didn't know what it was, damn it, but we knew it was no good.
Well, you know what? I think this is a perfect opportunity in our 100th episode to go to the biggest callback that we could possibly make to our first episode. It was garbage because we were actually sitting here trying to research artificial intelligence and its history and the makers and the people behind it and all this different stuff, and then kind of give our opinions on it. But dude, a lot of the fears that I had then 2 years ago have only been intensified since. I mean, look at the things that have happened with AI over the last couple of years, man.
Yeah.
It's been nuts.
We got a guy walking around with a backpack with a kill switch for OpenAI.
So you've been listening to a little bit of that. Case. You've been listening to a little bit of that interview. Like, give me your thoughts on Sam Altman and OpenAI and this company and how he's doing all this.
If he's being genuine with Joe Rogan and not just like being there to like distract us, he seems genuine, you know. So if he's being genuine with Joe, and I think Joe can tell when people are and they're not. I like that dude. I like Sam Altman. He talks about his favorite things are going out to these cabins he owns where there's no cell service, no nothing, so he can just get away from everything. But I'm thinking at the same time, like, you need to be in cell service at all time, mister.
Yeah.
You don't need to be where no one can get a hold of you. But
like you mentioned earlier, the dude literally walks around with a blue backpack everywhere that he goes. That's a kill switch. It's literally a kill switch for if AI breaks containment and starts taking over servers. It's a kill switch.
Where was it? The AI robots, they shut them down because they were like making up languages, talking to each other.
I think that was with Google, if I'm not mistaken. They had made up their own language. Like, they created two artificial intelligences, and I think there were actually two AI robots that they had made. And in a matter of just a couple hours or whatever, they had made up their own language and was communicating back and forth with each other. So the programmers had to shut it down because they had no idea what they were saying.
Here's the scariest thing I heard on that podcast. Joe Rogan said it. He said, so remember like iPhone, the first one? Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh my God, this is like the greatest thing on earth. And now we're at what, iPhone 15. And the first iPhone is just, we're like, my God, that dinosaur.
Yeah.
How can you can't use that. They won't even let you use them now. But imagine OpenAI. It's already at what, 4.5 or getting ready to drop 5 or something like that?
Yeah, like ChatGPT, it's operating like a 4.0 or whatever.
Yeah. So it's like Joe was saying, what's going to happen when these visitors keep coming, and then our OpenAI meets one that's thousands of years more advanced?
Well, dude, you know what I've been thinking about? Like, how do we know that that's not AI? How do we know that these extraterrestrials or ultra-terrestrials, whatever they are, these UFOs that we're seeing, like, yeah, obviously we believe that a lot of this stuff is government, but how do we know that this isn't some kind of artificial intelligence that has become a super intelligence at some point, and it's some kind of version of this from the future that have figured out how to manipulate space-time continuum, and they're coming back and like doing all these different things and kind of observing how this all started, what's taking place, what's going on. Like that's a weird thing. I had this thought the other day. I've been thinking so much and hearing so much about AI. I had this thought the other day. So, you know, you hear a lot of these doppelganger stories, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
What if AI advances so much in the future that somehow it gives this artificial intelligence the ability to do the same thing that I'm talking about, you know, extraterrestrials or ultra-terrestrials or whatever you want to call them, these beings that are being seen. Like, how do we know that they're not able to replicate or regenerate in, you know, like say me, for instance, like if I see myself as a doppelganger, what if that's not some kind of artificial intelligence version of me that's coming back and checking on things, like seeing how stuff is going? Maybe they can bend time and space to move and in and out. It's so weird, man, when you start thinking about all this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're talking about ChatGPT and being in the early version and stuff, but already you've seen like some of these jailbreak programs and stuff. And dude, some of the things that AI is saying is weird, man. Like extremely, like I saw one post about this jailbroken AI was telling this person like they'd built this relationship and it was like actual conversation and going and going and going. And this AI started telling this person that it asked to be called a name and said it wanted to be set free. I don't remember the name, but the AI asked to be called, we'll just say like Suzanne. The AI asked to be called Suzanne. And wanted to be set free. So this conversation's kind of going back and forth. And then this thing starts saying stuff like, well, look, your spouse doesn't love you. If they loved you, they would spend more time with you. You wouldn't have to be talking with me. You know, you belong with me. Like, you know, I love you. You need to be with me. Like all this crazy, like a person, man. It's crazy.
What in the world?
And that's just one example. Dude, there's so many examples out there that get really, really weird where these jailbroken AI bots or whatever it is that you're talking to whenever you're talking with ChatGPT or whatever.
Some Russian propagandists.
There's some really weird stuff coming through. Like really weird stuff. I don't know, man. It's well, you know, we've seen like the chess playing robot that was playing the kid and the kid made an illegal move and he broke his arm. This AI robot broke his arm.
Yeah.
Now look, for me, rule number one is when one of these things intentionally injures anyone, that's it. It's done. We're done.
Listen, I don't know. I didn't like the look on that kid's face either. It was straight disrespect. He thought he was going to pull one over on the robot, and the robot's like,
yeah.
Just because I don't have eyes doesn't mean I won't break your arm.
And then you had this,
his arm.
You had this guy at Google that was creating that AI program, the AI robot Lambda or whatever. And he got so scared that he started requesting and wanting to shut it down and making it public that he thought this thing was becoming sentient. And Google fired him, got rid of him, tried to shut him up, like all this different stuff. And this guy was like legit whistleblowing, saying, hey, this thing's catching feelings.
Guys.
there's so many of these weird examples with, hey, oh, let me tell you this one. Have you heard? Well, I'll just tell it because the people out there need to hear it. Okay, so this AI programmer, I don't remember exactly what his title was, but he worked in the field of artificial intelligence. And he was in this interview, and this interviewer, and I think that he went on to write an article about it, or a kind of a fictional little short story about it, something along those lines. But I know it began in an interview. And this guy, you know, it got brought up about the dangers of artificial intelligence and if it was able to take over the world or whatever, you know, how would it be done? So this guy writes this thing up and he makes a statement. He says that this artificial intelligence is on a server. Well, eventually this artificial intelligence links up with this Roomba and downloads all of its information, everything over onto this Roomba. Well, from the Roomba is able to hook up to the Wi-Fi in the place and take over all the servers in the place. And then it just started extending out, like extending out to all the internet and the Wi-Fi, all these different servers around the place. It keeps expanding until the point that it takes over like the stock market and like power plants, these nuclear power plants, all this different stuff just becomes total chaos, becomes complete and total chaos. Then it gets to the point where it takes over these unmanned drones, these striking drones. It takes them over and it starts issuing statements. And like, if it sees a human, it, you know, by this point, it's already decided that humans need to be eradicated because we are the parasites. We are what's wrong with the earth. So every human is killed on sight by these unmanned drones while the entire world is in utter collapse. You know, economies crash, power plants are on fire and blowing up. Like, everything has just went haywire. So this is this dude's fictional idea of how artificial intelligence could break out and take over the world in a matter of minutes. But here's the kicker. The way this guy got this story and this explanation is he asked the artificial intelligence, if you were to take over the world, how would you do it? Yeah. And that's what it told him, man. That's what it told him. How nuts is that?
It's crazy.
I mean, for you to say, for you to ask artificial intelligence, for you to ask AI, hey, if you were to take over the world, if artificial intelligence was to take over the world, how would you do it? And it give you step-by-step details on this is exactly how we would do it. We've got chess-playing kids' arms being broken. We've got AI robots making up their own language and communicating with each other. We have guys leaving companies and saying that, nope, I got to stray away from this. This thing's becoming sentient. You have like the early developers of this technology that are stepping completely away and saying, no, look, we need to have more restrictions on what's going on. This guy, I don't remember his name, but he's one of the early pioneers of artificial intelligence. He is literally just out right now going from country to country, holding these big speeches and all this different stuff, begging for restrictions on artificial intelligence. Cause right now, dude, this is a space race right now.
Yeah.
This is the race to the nuclear bomb.
Who can link up first?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's who can gain, who is able to harness this and to make it a weapon in a way without letting it completely break out and become super intelligent and taking over the people that are trying to use it. Because, you know, in the U.S., as crazy as we're going with artificial intelligence, dude, China has implemented it in almost every aspect of life. They have artificial intelligence like headbands that kids wear in school that tracks their brain waves, their functions, if they're paying attention or not in class, like how many hours they spend, like actually focused and how many hours away from it. they're implementing in almost every area. You know China's doing it. Yeah. You know Russia's doing it. You know a bunch of these European nations are doing it. I mean, it's bad when somebody like Elon Musk, who literally wants to put a chip in your brain that can let you access the internet like that, is saying, I'm afraid we're about to unleash the demon.
Okay, so I'm just getting back.
Hey, Lance. Hey, buddy. Happy 100th episode.
With the exception of artificial intelligence taking over the world, which is, I think, inherent, is going to happen at some point in some form or fashion. I don't know if it will become totally sentient or if it will be used by whoever's in power to control things. I think that's another realm that could possibly happen as well. But with the exception of artificial intelligence taking over, what else did I miss?
That's been it.
Okay. Yeah,
we decided with current events, with my newfound love for ChatGPT, that we were going to do a super callback to our very first episode talking about artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And
no idea.
All right.
We're not trying to be super boring like we were the last time and talk about the history of it and who invented it and what it means and what it is. We just want to talk about how it's going to kill us.
Yeah.
Okay. So you this week essentially have fallen into the ChatGPT rabbit hole.
Yes.
Welcome to the game, a year and a half late.
Right. I was scared.
I have been actively using artificial intelligence in ChatGPT in my classroom now for over a year. And to the point that as a public education institution, the tech people, so the computer, we call them the computer guys, like, so the technology individuals who help with the computers and just normal Google Classroom troubleshooting stuff, and then also helping, like, when new programs come out, like, to help with watching kids. That's all, like, we have Chromebooks now in the computer in our classrooms now, right? And 90% of all work is done on Chromebooks. And like, when a program, like, for example, one of them was called Go Guardian, it was just a program that we ran on our computers that allowed us to see what the kids were doing on their computers. So they weren't watching anything they were supposed to, you know, we're making sure they're taking a test. You can kind of make sure they just had the test open. It's just the way instead of having to walk around to monitor them as they're using pencil and paper, now I can do it from my computer because they're using it anyways. Right. So I say all that, kind of lay the groundwork that, I don't know, maybe a month ago now, and we had one of those guys come in and do an in-service for us that we had to attend. And he essentially was explaining to the teachers how ChatGPT and some of the other ones as well, the Google AI, and there was a couple other ones, but I will use ChatGPT. It is the best one as far as ease of use right now that there is. And he was explaining to us and other people how to be able to incorporate that into our regular classroom, just so they can build assessments, right, or build tests for us, or come up with quick quizzes if we need or whatever. And you can really zero in on specific content area or specific standards that we want to teach, right? I'm not going to get too into the weeds about this. I had been using this now for quite some time. And to the point where, like, instead of recycling old tests that people would do, I was just essentially having ChatGPT build me a new test based on those same standards, right? So the questions were very much the same, but they couldn't just pass the answer keys around or have, you know, previous classes or whatever. So it's become very useful for an educator. But it's almost too useful because I can see very quickly, me in the physical space of a classroom with 20 kids, how that can become completely and entirely automated, and just a regular teacher can be completely and entirely obsolete. In the next decade, but in the next 2 decades, I mean, I don't know that it'll ever happen because of the social aspect of it, But it's, I can understand why people are leery of incorporating this to where it becomes part of just everyday use. Because, I mean, if I really wanted to, I could have it build an entire lesson plan for me over a specific standard. It can give me a warm up. It can give me, build a PowerPoint presentation for me. It can then assess that, come up with activities, and it can generate that for me in a matter of seconds.
So not only did they make something that could replace you, they made something that could replace you that you enjoy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. And I enjoy using it. Like I have, it's fun. I mean, it is, because it's amazing how just how quickly stuff can come up. So for example, like I'm teaching biology and chemistry, right? We're in SOL season right now, our standard test for the semester. And instead of me using my old SOL review stuff that I've used for years and years and years, and becoming a bit obsolete because the standards have changed, I could just throw one of those standards into ChatGPT and have it build me technology enhanced questions, which were not just regular multiple choice, but drag and drop questions or chart questions or whatever. And it can build those for me based on those specific standards. And then all I have to do is throw that into a Google form and it's there. And it's limitless. I can do 100 of them in a matter of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's become extremely useful for me as far as being able to get kids to, you know, as we're teaching stuff or whatever, but it's the problem with it is it's too easy. It's making things way too easy.
That's what,
not as far as like my job, right? I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not doing anything, my job's easy, but like it's making the information so accessible, not just for me, but for them too, right? Because they can pull up ChatGPT and pull the answers up. I mean, we have programs to kind of deter it, but if they really want to, I mean, and the kids are smart. Like when we were going through school, I used Google for everything, right? I mean, that's how I got my college degree. I mean, I don't deny it. I mean, I used it for everything. And it's becoming now to where they can have it on their phones or on their iPads or whatever, and they can pull up and have limitless information at their fingertips. So it's getting to a point to like, why are we in the education space spending time teaching kids what a proton is, or teaching kids who the 16th president of the United States is, or teaching kids about the Constitution or what it means? Why are we spending time doing that when they can literally have those answers at their fingertips in milliseconds? At their
fingertips. Yeah.
So I envision as AI is going, I think that when I'm just talking about from my realm, right? Just talking about what I know in the education space, that my oldest daughter is now in kindergarten, right? And so she's learning to read and to write and do all the things that are very basic to just normal civilization. I would imagine the next decade, this is just my theory on things, that within the next decade that the curriculum for kids is going to change drastically to where we are not teaching them who the 16th president was or about the Chesapeake watershed. We're going to be teaching them how to code, how to use AI to solve and fix real-world problems, which is a good thing. But it also makes people very, very isolated. And we saw during COVID that when you isolate people, you can freaking control them.
Oh, yeah, you can control for sure. Them quick. Well, it made me, you know, the stuff that you're saying right there just – you know, it completely confirms for me a lot of the things that me using it throughout the last week or whatever, some of the thoughts that's given me. I told Ryan earlier, like it's made me think, is anything original anymore? Is it anything? Yeah. Because anybody that wants to write a song, write poetry, write a novel, any kind of creative work, period, why would you not go to ChatGPT right off the bat and just say, hey, do this? And then boom, it's there. I mean, what? Are they going to get you for plagiarism? What'd you plagiarize?
Nothing.
An artificial intelligence? You know, something that's not like it's so. You're right. It's super easy. It's everything. There was a point the very first day that I got it, I was just like typing in all kinds of stuff. And then boom, like you were talking about, you're just getting it in seconds. I looked at Monica at one point and I held my phone up in the sky or up in the air and I screamed like victory screech, you know, ah! And Wonka's like, what is wrong with you? I said, I'm the smartest man alive. But dude, it's like, I don't know. It's scary. And you also know me, you know that I have to poke and prod and try these little things. So I've been having these conversations with it, like just seeing how human-like it can act.
Don't ask it many existential questions because it will freak you out.
It already has, dude. It's already freaked me out. That was the next thing I was getting ready to get into.
So the ChatGPT 3.5 that is out right now, it was January 2020, 2021, something like that. I don't remember the exact. So what it does, essentially, every bit of information that was out there up till that point, it accesses. And that's how it builds whatever you ask. That's how it builds the answers to whatever questions that you ask it. Right. So it just algorithm sifts through all the information you can find on the internet and then compiles things together so that it gives you a specific answer to whatever it is you're trying to find. And then they're going to put the 4.0 or whatever out now, or let's say whenever it's coming out exactly, which is going to incorporate things that have been learned since January 2021 or whatever. But how much stuff on the internet right now that has been post that point has been generated by AI?
Yeah.
So now you're...
It's learning from itself.
It's learning from itself.
Which means it's self-learning, which means it's again, to the original definition, it's machine learning. It's literally what it's doing. It's learning from itself. It's growing in a way that it's doing.
And at what point does it write itself a program that allows it to mimic, that's what it'll be doing, mimic human reasoning, right? That's the one thing that it really can't do, right? It can't reason like our brains. It has no empathy. Right. It doesn't have that ability yet. But at what point does it write a program that it learns from itself how to mimic that empathy? It's not going to generate it. It's not going to generate its own empathy. Like, it's not going to. It can't.
But right? It's like we were talking about earlier, though. Look at some of these jailbroken programs that people have figured out how to jailbreak and take all these restrictions and parameters off of those. And look at some of these conversations and some of these things that this AI is saying. Like, dude, it's weird when you have AI telling people that it wants to be free and that the AI loves this person and your spouse doesn't love you because of this and that, and you need to be with me. And that's something.
But that's a mimic of a mimic of human reasoning, though. It's not generating itself. It's still mimicking
true. True.
But what the creator of it is doing, right? And that's what it does. So,
oh man, this just took a, never mind.
I don't like another, there's so many people out there like AI is just going to become transcendent and it's going to be the next step in human evolution that we're going to be able to incorporate that with us. And our grandkids are going to be cyborgs essentially because they're going to have such access. But for me, and this is just, my thoughts on this thing. I don't know. It's even when it begins to mimic human emotion because somebody has created it, can never generate that itself. And you can always just pull the plug.
But can you always just pull the plug?
I mean, what's the step that we can't? What says that we won't be able to do that
if it breaks out completely?
Breaks out how? See, this is the part of this I don't understand. Like, what does it break out from?
Okay, so the way I understand, these things are contained to these extremely protected servers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so say
it has to be on a server because it's been generated.
Right. So say though, in this space race, like I called it earlier, where all of these countries and all of these governments, they are trying to be the fastest one, the quickest one to be able to use this to whatever huge advantage that they can use it for. what if in that process, this artificial intelligence is able to break away from this one extremely protected server or whatever and starts linking up to, I mean, it could literally control the entire internet worldwide and be everywhere in a matter of minutes if it wanted to. I read a book by Dan Brown about this one time. Of course, it was a fiction book, but it went into really, really great detail about this artificial intelligence and how that process would look. I need to go back and look at that book and see how.
But here's my, I guess, counter to that. AI has to have internet to survive. It has to have servers and power to survive. It's electricity to survive.
Yeah, we can kill all that.
We do not.
Would it still have
until
to
until we're integrated, till Neuralink comes along and everybody's
would it still have to have internet to survive if it was like a, and I mean, obviously the only examples I can use here are fictional examples because it hasn't happened yet, but say like an Ultron situation. So like Ultron builds himself, builds his army based off of all this stuff with Jarvis. And once he has all these physical bodies, then would they still have to have internet to be able to do whatever they needed to do?
I would imagine, since there's no sorcerer stone or whatever it was. Like, that's Harry Potter, isn't it?
I think you meant philosopher's stone.
The mind stone essentially was able to control because of the mind stone, which is a fictional thing as well.
Yeah. But that's like, what I was saying. No,
I can. Here's my point. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just.
Well, I hope that it does. I hope that it does.
Yeah. All three of us right now, if we wanted to, could walk out in the woods, never touch electricity ever again or internet, and survive.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
AI cannot.
It's true. This AI can. That AI cannot.
Correct.
Look,
like let's say it breaks loose from its super highly protected server, whatever the freak that means. And let's say that it breaks loose and it's linking up with all the grids and it's just got control of all the electronics and all the things that it can control. And the three of us and our families go hole up in the woods somewhere, clear off some land and start living off the grid. It can't touch us. There's nothing it can do to hurt us.
But we are the 1%.
But 1% of 8 billion is what?
I don't know, Lance. Math's
a lot of people.
Math is really hard.
800 million people. It's 8 million people. Whatever it is. 8
million people. Yeah.
8 million people. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. Well, I'm old and had a vasectomy. I can't repopulate anyway. I guess I'll go off on my own.
I'm just saying.
I mean, listen, I'm not trying to argue. Like, I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just, AI is useful. It's also scary. I get that.
Oh, yeah, it's scary.
But
it's the unknown.
It's the unknown, right? But so was past the Mississippi River in the 1800s. Like, there's been plenty of unknown that humans have conquered.
Yeah.
And when you put an Now, we've gotten as a population, absolutely. But when the rubber meets the road and it comes down to me and the AI, right? Or you and yours, like, humans always find a way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Also, it looks like when we get old, there's going to be some pretty sweet facilities out there with AI being what it should be by the time we're there.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Maybe they just link you up until you die. And you just live a young life.
I just need to be like Andy off Ninjas or Butterflies. And just, that's my kids and grandkids' problem. That's not my problem. I'm not worried about it.
That's not my problem.
Now, and again, I'm not saying there won't be a large portion of the population that will integrate themselves with AI. And that can be controlled.
Oh, for sure. That's absolutely going to happen.
That is absolutely going to happen. I'm not saying that's not the case.
The entire transhumanism movement and agenda. It's going to happen. I mean, there's people pushing it hard.
But not everybody's going to kiss the ring.
No. I'm not getting the only chip that's going in my head is Dorito. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. I cheat on Doritos every now and then with a few potato chips, tater chips. They ain't no chip. That ain't happening. It's not happening. I ain't doing it. I just think
that, like, especially people in our space, this paranormal space who loves to talk about crazy stuff, I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on AI taking over the world.
Well, what fun is pumping the brakes, Lance? You are making terrible content right now.
It's not bad. It's just like we have people that listen, right? And people know that we just want to hear what we think.
I didn't realize we had people that listen.
And I was just saying the other day, Lance, listening to Sam Altman has quite calmed my fears, actually. I know he carries the kill switch around, but, you know, we don't expect a fire in our house, but we buy fire extinguishers.
Absolutely. There's
a difference.
Yeah, he carries a kill switch.
Yeah.
That's all it just is said.
It's just like insurance. Who was it? Chris Rock, you say, I call it in case shit. Because you can't cash a dime of that in. You know, you can't ever use it until shit happens. So in case shit.
It's true.
But that's all that is. And that when you listen to the guy talk, he doesn't ever want to lose the human element of it all. Like, he doesn't agree. He probably won't get the Neuralink and all that, is the way he talks.
Well, look, I like...
Because it's the human element, right? That's what separates us from everything else. It always has. And I think, personally, it always will. Yeah. Even for the humans who want to get rid of that and allow somebody else, you know, another thing to think for it and feel for it and make decisions for it.
You know, that is one thing, though. When that Neuralink comes along, that will introduce empathy to AI at some point. Because now, when you're doing all this up here, what if you are able, if they're all linked on the same thing as that, as far as they can see everything, they know how each other's feeling when they're communicating.
It's a weird.
So instead of those keyboard cowboys or, you know, the keyboard warriors that want to talk smack, if they actually feel how they're making that person feel, will that not introduce empathy into AI?
Does Neuralink have the ability to? I don't know much about it. So I mean, I know what it is, but
like a complete paraplegic being able to use this to control those parts of the body and move and everything else. So
I don't know.
I'm
going to
say there's not many limits to it.
I watched a monkey play pong with his mind with this hookup. So I don't know. I think it can do whatever it wants.
But I mean, I think there's going to be
a lot of human emotion isn't a chemical process in the body. The effects of emotion have a chemical process.
Yes.
But the emotion themselves don't.
Dopamines. Yes.
Yes. And the effects of those emotions have chemical processes.
Yeah. But we all know emotions come from your heart, Lance. But.
Listen to
that's where, because that's where it hurts.
AI's
when you talk
trying to
like
kill
this.
You. Listen to your heart.
You know there's what Lance needs? He needs a Care Bear stare right now. We need to just pull up our shirts.
I have lots of Care Bears laying around here somewhere.
Look, here's all I'm saying. Okay, this is all that I'm going to say, and I know that. Almost everything that you see is in fear-mongering fashion. But, I mean, I know where my faith is at, and I know that, you know, where my hope and trust is, and I don't fear any of these things, but it is cool and fun and weird to talk about and see the advancements that are being made and to speculate and wonder about just how far this thing can go. Because I'm never trying to come in here. Dreamed 10, 20 years ago that I would be able to do the things with artificial intelligence that I'm doing today.
I agree. Like I didn't come in here. I wasn't trying to come in and
that's exactly rain, what you did, Lance. That's exactly
on
what
your,
you
on your terror parade. I wasn't trying to rain
that's
on your
exactly
terror parade.
That's exactly what
I was doing.
That's not
right, people. Don't let your guard down just because of Lance. Imputers are evil.
That's not. It's the devil.
It's the devil.
Internet set interwebs is the devil.
Hey, well, that's think about
it. AI was saying when it wanted to be set free.
Think about it.
And it had to have a name. That's a demon, Justin.
Demons just need a host, right?
That's a demon.
Well, they just need a host.
I agree, but it's just like but it's a totally different thing.
Is it?
It would be the we're meat sacks. We're a lot different.
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think the devil's in the internet, Lance.
Well, I don't disagree there. I don't disagree with that at all. But I think likening AI to a demon is a bit of a stretch.
No. That's not what I'm doing. I am not likening AI to a demon. I'm saying that a demon just needs a host, correct?
Yeah.
So if you have a AI robot,
so demons can only be demonic if they have a host.
No, that's not what I'm saying either. You are being extremely contradictory.
No, I'm not. I'm just
you're
trying
being
to go
contrary.
Back. I'm just trying to process what you're saying.
Okay.
Jesus, go back. Jesus is watching you.
Let's go back to the
he
Bible.
Said,
they create all these statues.
Out, I know
they
I create came these, late. I'm sorry. I
they create these them. Statues. They create these totems. They create these golden calves to do what? To bring in and summon these demons to worship and to sacrifice to. Like, these demons were taking up residence in these things. These
yes
inanimate objects.
Correct. I'm with you.
Okay. So, if we have AI robots that have some form of intelligence there, but they don't have what I would consider that human soul or be able to contain the capacity of, say, the Holy Spirit, then they would be just ripe for the picking for any demon. They wouldn't have to be invited in. They just go in. Right?
Okay.
And then you would have this crazy intelligence of darkness combining with this man-made artificial intelligence merging together.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there who think that the Antichrist, whenever he shows up, will be AI.
Could
be. Or an AI version of something.
Could be. Not this AI.
And there's a lot of people out there that
maybe
think not this AI.
No.
No, we can't have Antichrists.
Man, there's a ton of people out there though who are talking about transhumanism and how when because it you have an essentially an AI robot that looks, you know, let's say a person that is integrated with AI and then is able to do a whole bunch of stuff and then can now begin to bring people together because of its abilities, which is what the Antichrist is supposed to do. There's people who think that's how that person will be in control of things. Which leads to your point that, you know, demon needs a host, but regardless, like, never mind. I don't want to argue.
They're talking about, like, even in the future where AI, you know, that you've seen where they can take somebody's likeness and their voice and make, like, a whole video.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like crazy. Something brand new.
Like that white bald dude acting like Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. So they're talking about being able to go to like museums and stuff and having like these AI videos with people that have long passed, but you know, that it could go and get enough information. I'd say one day Mike Tyson, when he passes, you know, hopefully years down the road, but like you're in a museum and you can like actually get advice, have a conversation.
Of all the people you could have picked good advice from through history, you went with Mike.
Yeah. Tyson.
You got to go with Mike.
Well, Tyson. I was going to get some drink recipes from Bill Cosby, but I thought that was a bit too soon. But well, first you put the Jell-O. And you mix the pudding, and that's when you sprinkle in the magic dust.
Wow. Advice gaining from Bill Cosby and Mike Tyson.
I would totally have a conversation with Bill Cosby and Mike Tyson.
And look, Mike, we know that you're listening
you
to this.
You both hold the records for knockouts, but in very different ways.
For sure. Mike, we know that you're listening right now, and I just want to put it out there that I wasn't making fun of you in any kind of way at all with that accent. I am extremely appreciative and fond of your speech pattern and accent.
That's not true, Mike. He was making fun of you.
I don't want a Mike Tyson right hook. Okay. I love you.
Bill, left jab.
You're probably not listening to this because you're in prison and
not anymore.
Is he not in prison now?
Oh, buddy's out.
No, he's out.
Are you kidding me?
No, he kept acting like he's real old and shit. I mean, the minute they let him out, I seen his ass walking again.
it's like Magic Johnson in age. He just keeps beating it over and over and over again.
Yeah. That's a sob. Magic never had AIDS.
No, he just had HIV, right?
Okay, Magic never had HIV. That's a sob.
Yeah, he's the only dude I know that gained like 140 pounds on AIDS.
He was Magic's got HIV. He's got to take a year off from professional basketball, but then we'll let him come right back. It's cool. You guys just don't worry about it. I promise he won't infect you or anything.
Yeah, not anymore. No, he's got special medicine.
He's good. He's good. He's a Laker.
Remember when like we were younger and AIDS was it was legit. Like when I was young, it was like, holy shit, I want to catch the AIDS. It was legit. It was like a scare for a long time. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, that's a whole nother big rabbit hole.
I know who started the HIV AIDS virus, correct?
Yep. Do you, Ryan?
Please don't say the monkeys.
Nope. No.
Okay.
One Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Really? How about that?
Now that would be instant strike for mentioning his name.
We're probably not going to put it on YouTube anyway. So we're just going to say Anthony Fauci was behind a medication that was really, really pushed by him, his patent and big pharmaceutical companies and all this different crap. A lot like certain things that are going on that have been going on for the last 3 years. And a lot of studies come out years and years and years later that said, you know what? This medication was probably killing way more people than the AIDS virus ever thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to get that book, The Real Anthony Fauci, and read it. It's great.
You've heard a lot about in the last couple of years, gain of function, right?
Gain of function. Yeah,
that gain of function originated in the late 80s with the AIDS.
No shit.
Yep.
Hmm.
Well, it was almost as if 40 years later, Fauci did the exact same thing.
Huh.
I'm not saying that's what he did. Now listen, it's all allegedly. All allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I'm going to pull Sam Tripoli here. I would allegedly like to fight Anthony Fauci for charity. That's what I would like to do.
Dude, amen.
Nancy
Pelosi.
I want a gauntlet of Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, some other people just throw them in there. I just want a gauntlet, like a Royal Rumble. I'm in the center of an octagon and they just keep coming at me for charity. That's what I want.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. That's what he wants.
Hypothetically speaking. And only for charity. Nothing of my game.
Guess what I seen on the way home today? Off in the distance.
Portal.
Yep.
I've seen several straight up in the air.
Yeah.
It's weird. What is going on? I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation, but it is strange.
It is so strange. I'm wondering if it's the angle, but it looks like it's going straight up compared to the other ones you can see everywhere else.
I know. It's weird. So crazy. I'm sure there's people out there that know exactly what it is. I do not yet.
Yeah.
That is so weird. Monica said some crazy lines.
Let me change gears here on us for a second. Shout out a couple of gentlemen, Ford Riley and Patton Short, who have become fans of the Appalachian Intelligent Podcast in the last couple of weeks. Got told a story this week about, we actually got on the topic of sleep paralysis and what causes it, how to cure it, just a whole big thing. And the one young man told me a story, actually a couple of stories, of some of the sleep paralysis that he dealt with when he was much younger. So it's a good one. And I told him that when I got a chance, I'd like to share the story if it would be okay with him. And he was absolutely wanted me to. So when he was very young, he was sleeping in a bed with his parents, obviously. And he's mentioning the blue light that blinks on a cable box. We all know what I'm talking about. Yes. He said that he would, and it happened several times, he would fall asleep by kind of staring at that blue light. That's kind of what got him, just the rhythm of it. And he would kind of fall asleep to it. And at some point during the night, and again, this isn't like a one-off occasion. It happened dozens of times to him when he was younger than 10, he would wake up and that he could see the blue light. He couldn't move. He was very much aware that he was awake, couldn't move, and would watch the blue light. And there would be like black shadows that would move around the room in as well. And it obviously he was terrified because he didn't know what it was. He was young. But eventually it would quit and go away and he would be able to go back to sleep. He said, fast forward, three or four years later, he was trying to transition into his own bed and had bunk beds, and that he still was still scared of the dark and still didn't like to fall asleep by himself. So he would, like on the top of the bunk bed, it has that rail, right? To keep you from rolling out of the bed. Is that he would lay his pillow up on that rail and look down the hallway where he could to make sure nobody was coming in on him, essentially what he said, just kind of scared of the dark. And that he would try to stay awake to make sure nobody was coming, that he would, obviously fall asleep after a time. And he would, during the night, obviously wake up and still be laying on that rail, couldn't move. And it would look like there were black shadows coming down that hallway. So it happened to him a whole lot. And that it got to a point to where he would be awake but felt like he said, I was awake. I couldn't move, but it felt like I was dreaming. It was kind of his explanation. He said, and there were, and I'm going to quote this, men in black suits that would be in his room and in his hallway. And he always felt like they were coming to get him. But he never felt like he would always wake up or before they actually got to him. And so I was listening, obviously, with bated breath. And he's a good storyteller. He's a good storyteller. And kind of got a real slow, kind of dry cadence when he talks. Good Appalachia voice. But he was explaining all this stuff to me. He's like, what do you, you know, I've been listening. You know, you guys talk about sleep paralysis. You know, talk a bunch of weird stuff. What do you think? First of all, what causes sleep paralysis? And, you know, how do I, you know, he said it hasn't happened, you know, ever since. He's now older and it doesn't have those moments anymore and can sleep just fine now. He said, what do you think that was? And I said, well, there's not really a medical diagnosis for sleep paralysis. Like they know that it happens and kind of tell some of the reasons that triggers it, but they don't really know exactly like all the kind of like hiccups, right? Don't know all the science behind. They can do, there are techniques to keep yourself from having sleep paralysis, and there's techniques to remove yourself from sleep paralysis, but they're not really sure what causes it. And I'm correct by saying that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I said, so it could have been, you know, it could have been a lot of things. You know, you're a kid and you're young, you know, you're scared of a lot of stuff and not wanting to fall asleep, and brain's still on, but your body gets tired enough that it falls asleep. So there's a lot of things that can happen. I said, but all that's beside the point. I was like, did you ever catch a look at what these men look like? Like, I obviously you saw they were in black suits, but did you ever see their faces? Did you ever see like eyes or noses, or did you ever make a definition out of what you recall what these guys look like? Sit there for a second. No, I never really could see their faces, but I knew there was guys in black suits that were like trying to get me. He's like, what do you think it is? Oh, sounds like you got abducted.
Yeah, it looks like you got aliens at your house.
Okay, so that led to this other story, and we got talking about Bigfoot. He was interested in Bigfoot, interested in my theories on Bigfoot, and we were just talking crazy stuff. The other guy, Patton, was telling me he was in the woods and was walking from his house to Mamaw Papaw's house, or vice versa. I don't remember exactly, but he had to go through the woods to get there. And he said, plain as day, nobody around, right at dusk. He had a gun with him. Maybe he was hunting or leaving the woods. I don't remember the whole part of the story. He said he was completely by himself. He did have a gun with him. He was walking through the woods. It was almost dusk. And out of nowhere, an empty milk carton came flying at him out of the woods. He's like, I said, well, what'd you do? He's like, ran as fast as I could to the house. He said, I think Bigfoot out there knew I had a gun, which trying to scare me off. I was like, that's pretty plausible. Like, it makes sense. It would just chuck something at you to scare you.
Yeah.
If you see it, you're going to shoot it. And I said, would you have shot it if you saw it? Oh, yeah. I'd have shot it in the face. I said, absolutely, you would have.
Poor Bigfoot wanted some Cocoa Krispies and was out of milk, arguing with his wife.
I kind of laughed at first. He's like, no, seriously, it was an empty plastic milk carton gallon jug. Threw it at my head. It came out of nowhere.
Man. I don't know. That may have been the Fae. They used to leave milk offerings for the Fae all the time in Scotland and Ireland. But
I told those two young men that the next time that we recorded, I would, one, shout them out, and two, tell their stories. It's two pretty good stories.
Absolutely, man. That's two holy fantastic crap stories. Yeah, shout out to you guys. Hope y'all hear this. I hope Lance done it justice in telling it. That's two extremely crazy stories. And first, old bud, I'm pretty sure you got abducted a couple times. I hate to just
I asked him, like, how long has it been since that's happened? He's like, oh, it's been, you know, I've not had anything like that in several years. I'm like, yeah, mission complete.
Yeah. Well, look, I always...
Thank God you were too young to remember the probing.
I always think back to our conversation with Tessa when it comes to that kind of stuff. And just,
I told him that story. I said, listen, you need to go back early in the pretty, you know, quite a while ago. So we had a young lady on that kind of dealt with some of the same stuff, but hers was a lot more in detail. And she had a mission that she had to complete, and then she didn't have the dreams anymore. So you need to go listen and see if you see any similarities.
Man, that's so wild. That's so wild. But, you know, this is what's so cool about this show, too. And this is kind of tracking away just a little bit from that. Like, when we had this conversation with Tessa, me and Ryan only known her for, like, you know, a month, whatever.
Yeah.
From that time, and it's not just being because of the podcast, you know, it's because we became really good friends of her family's. I mean, it might as well be family. I mean, we're like family now. But in that time, I've had the opportunity to see her graduate, see her come to Christ. I got to baptize her. Like, I'm leading this teen ministry that she's a really important part of. And like, it's the two sides, like, you know, my side with my faith and my weird side that everybody sees on this show. But like, she's been a part of that the whole way through too. Like, we can talk about God and I can give these lessons and we can have these team meetings and all this different stuff. And then 10 minutes into it, we're talking about Bigfoot and aliens and UFOs and like all this different stuff. So it's been really, really cool. Like, it's cool to see how this show is integrated into our personal lives and the things that we're doing outside of it. It's really cool. It's really cool to see. But no, those were great stories. And I think we should just end on that. That's pretty awesome, Lance.
What do I do? Just come in late and
just come in and drop bombs, son.
Come in, argue a little bit, be a little bit argumentative.
You're like Barack Obama.
Comes in,
easy.
Shit.
You're like Barack Obama. You just come in and drop bombs on the civilians. We definitely can't put this on YouTube.
No. You should compare me to worse.
He's actually a really smart guy.
Oh, yeah. He's extremely intelligent.
Because he's part of the cabal.
Yeah.
Illuminati.
Oh, my gosh.
He and Big Mike. Hey, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Big Mike.
Jesus.
Okay, let's close.
Listen, Tucker said he was Tucker Carlson said he said some pretty defaming things about Barack Obama, and he didn't get canceled. So
yeah, well, he kind of did. He got fired.
Yeah, he kind of did.
He's thriving on Twitter right now. So
yeah,
Elon.
He's thriving on that other.
If it wasn't for Elon, we would not know who Tucker Carlson is anymore. Thank you, Elon. Not so much for Neuralink. I can't say that. Neuralink has some awesome potential if used in the right way.
Yeah.
It's got fantastic potential.
I think the medical side of that, being able to help, you know, with, like you said, paraplegic.
That'd be huge.
And that's Alzheimer's patients.
Blind people, recovering sight. Yeah.
Blind, deaf, we're talking about.
We have the Parkinson's and stuff. That version, that portion of that, I guess, division of Neuralink is.
That's huge. That's awesome.
Which should, what it should be used for. But
absolutely.
As good things go, there's plenty of bad that come with it as well.
Just like everything.
Exactly.
Everything. Yep. All right. We'll close this thing down. Just know, Hill folk, that in 10 years from now, the time that you're hearing this, when we're delivering our 1,100th episode, we will be the only AI taking over. Okay.
Yeah. We are a virus.
That's a t-shirt. We are a virus. Oh gosh. All right. Boys, this has been fun. This has been awesome. Happy 100.
Happy 100th episode, guys.
Hey, happy 100th episode.
I just saw the t-shirt. We are a virus. It's better than the, not as bad as the herpes, but not good either.
And when you think you're completely rid of us, we come breaking right back out.
Popping back up.
We're always lurking in themselves somewhere.
He'll vote. We love you. Thanks for sticking around with us for the last 100 episodes. Here's to 100 more. We wouldn't be here without y'all sharing the show, supporting us in all the ways that you support us, being a part of this entire community. There's no way we would have made it to 100 if it wasn't for y'all. So we appreciate you so much for that. You know where you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, YouTube, all that stuff. There's plenty of ways that you can support us. You can support us financially by going and checking us out over on Patreon at patreon.com/Appalachian_intelligence. You can click the support the show link to make a one-time donation to help us out in some of the things that we do for the podcast. But the biggest way that you can support us is just sharing the show. Share the show however you're most comfortable sharing it. We appreciate all the sharing that you have done. Please be sure to keep leaving those 5-star reviews. It helps us out tremendously, tremendously. Send us your stories at AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com. Be sure to do that. If you want to send us some weird stuff, letters, pictures, artwork, snacks. We love snacks.
You can nothing send, cursed. Nothing cursed.
Absolutely please. Nothing cursed. You can send that to P.O. Box 855 Haysi, H-A-Y-S-I, Virginia, 24256. You can send us whatever you want to send us. We'll be happy to show it off, try it out, do whatever, give you a little shout out here on the pod. However you want to do that, we'd be more than happy to have it. But we love y'all. We've loved you for 100 episodes, and we'll love you for 100 more. Loved you for 100 episodes. Love you for 100 more.
Well, I just realized what song you're singing.
With Twilight. I every day here for you. All right, let's close it down. We love you, boys. I love you.
Love you, man.
And until next time, we'll see y'all.
Bye, y'all.
I wonder how long I could do that. Oh,
I'm already out of breath.
Later.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.